find a sermon. How does these pastors, they have a sermon for the last 40 years, and how do you ever get the sermon? Did you ever ask yourself? No? Because like last Sunday we talked about the kings, you know, numerous kings from the Old Testament. And today I'm just gonna touch one more king. And the reason why the sermon that I formulate, first of all, by Sunday afternoon, I need to have a text or a scripture. But then besides from that, I go along with the word wife, W-I-F-E. Because as a pastor, I'm married to the church. So I use the acronym WIFE. WIFE stands for worship. So I preach along that area, worship. I is for intercession, like prayer. Then F, financial or family. And E, for evangelism. So those are the area that I select, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, give me a text. And then other than that, I kind of get some, you know, sometimes Friday afternoon, I don't have a text. That's my nervous, oh my God moment. But that's where I get outside of why. But this morning, I'm just going to share with you under the family. Not financial, but family. So you can keep your wallet. And because we're gonna talk about family this morning. And the title of my message is One Simple Rule for Protecting Your Family. One Simple Rule for Protecting Your Family. And our text this morning is on 1 Kings chapter 11. So I want you to turn your Bible with me, and I'm going to read it through NIV. 1 Kings chapter 11. Are you all there? 1 Kings chapter 11. Are you all there? Amen. Okay. Kings, 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women beside Pharaoh's daughter. Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelite, "You must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods." Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. So as Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord, his God, as the heart of David, his father, had been. He followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely, as David, his father, had done. On a hill east of Jerusalem, Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, and for Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. He did the same for all his foreign wives, who burned incense and offered sacrifice to their gods. The Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Although he had forbidden Solomon to follow other gods, Solomon did not keep the Lord's command. So the Lord said to Solomon, since this is your attitude, and you have not kept my covenant and my decrees, which I commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates or your servants. Nevertheless, for the sake of David, your father, I will not do it during your lifetime. I will tear it out of the hand of your son. Yet I will not tear the whole kingdom from him, but will give him one tribe. Do you know what that one tribe is? That's the tribe of Judah that was given to Solomon. For the sake of David, my servant, and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. Shall we pray? Lord God, we thank you this morning. Thank you for this story of King Solomon. God, that you have given him the wisdom that you have, Lord. And Father, we pray that you will come and touch our hearts and our minds, that we understand and apply this story that we have before us today. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Does anybody of you remember John Ritter? You know, he's the comedian. A comedian, huh? The Three's Company. Three's Company. I have not watched that, but I heard that CBS show. But also, there's also another ABC, I think, program that he has, the 8 Simple Rules. 8 Simple Rules. That's him too. John Ritter. And behind that is 8 Simple Rules for dating my daughter. Have you heard that? 8 Simple Rules for dating my daughter. I don't have a daughter, but maybe some of you have a daughter. But also, good thing is this, that the message that we have is not, doesn't apply only to your daughter, but it's also apply to your son. When you date your son, when dating somebody, he has that principles in his life. So, but I was able to get the 8 Simple Rules for dating my daughter. And I just want to share that with you. And maybe you can say, oh, okay. So not rule number one is that if you pull into my driveway and honk, you'd better be delivering a package because you're sure not picking up anything. Rule number two is that you do not touch my daughter in front of me. You may glance at her so long as you do not peer at anything below her neck. If you cannot keep your eyes or hands off of my daughter's body, I will remove them. Rule number three. I am aware that it is considered fashionable for boys of your age to wear their trousers so loosely that they appear to be falling off their hips. Please don't take this as an insult, but you and all of your friends are completely idiots. Still, I want to be fair and open-minded about this issue, so I propose a compromise. You may come to the door with your underwear showing and your pants 10 sizes too big, and I will not object. I will not object. However, in order to ensure that your clothes do not come off at the same time during the course of your date with my daughter, I will take my electric nail gun and fasten your trousers securely in place to your waist. Great. It is usually understood that in order for us to get to know each other, we should talk about sports, politics, and issues of the day. Please do not do this. The only information I require from you is an indication of when you expect to have my daughter safely back at my house And the only word I need from you on this subject is early. Rule number 5. I have no doubt you are a popular fellow with many opportunities to date other girls. This is fine with me as long as it's okay with my daughter. Otherwise, once you have gone out with my daughter, you will continue to date no one but her until she is finished with you. If you make her cry, I will make you cry too. Rule number 6. The following places are not appropriate for a date with my daughter. Places where there are beds, sofas, or anything softer than a wooden stool. Places where there are no parents, policemen, or nuns within eyesight. Places where there is darkness. Places where there is dancing holding hands. Places where the ambient temperature is warm enough to induce my daughter to wear shorts, tank tops, midriffs, and t-shirts. Movies with strong romantic or sexual theme are to be avoided. NBA games are okay. That's great. What time is the game? Rule number 7. Do not lie to me. I may appear to be pot-bellied, balding. Oh, balding. Middle age. But on issues relating to my daughter, I am all-knowing, merciless God of your universe. If I ask you where you are going and with whom, you have one chance to tell me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I have a shotgun, a shovel, and 5 acres behind the house. Do not trifle with me. Rule 8. Be afraid. Be very afraid. It takes very little for me to mistake the sound of your car in the driveway for a chopper coming in over rice paddy near Hanoi. Boy, she got that orange. I wait for you to bring my daughter home. As soon as you pull into the driveway, you should exit your car with both hands in plain sight. There is no need for you to come inside. Wow. You know, I think every parents, every mom and dad, their desire is to give good things, a good future, well-nourished, well-fed, well-educated. Make sure they drink a glass of water before they go to sleep. And I think that's the cry of every parent. That's the cry of every mom and dad. Is to feed, make sure that their children are being taken care of. So the important protection that we can offer to our children, that our children are protected. In fact, if you follow this one simple rule, it would accomplish more for your children than anything else that you could ever think of. Within this very sad tale of Solomon's failure to obey God is a key to how we protect our kids. Not only while they live with us, but even until they are their very day that they die. So this is not only for our young children. But it's also for us. Amen? But before we get to that, let's look up Solomon. Because the Bible tells us that Solomon was blessed by God. Well blessed. Solomon has the wisdom from God. Solomon was allowed to establish Israel's borders. And making it the largest and the most peaceful nation it ever had been. He accumulated wealth after wealth beyond any other king of Israel. That we can find it in 1 Kings chapter 10 verse 14 tells us that he received tribute of 25 tons of gold. Man, 25 tons of gold every year
from the nation around him. In addition to that, he was honored in ways that his father David never was. God spoke directly to him. Man, anybody here wants to have a direct conversation with God? I'm sure we all want to have speak one-on-one. But Solomon has that opportunity. And God permitted Solomon to build the temple. Remember, three Sundays ago, we talked about that's the temple of Solomon. And of course, Solomon was the wisest man ever walked in this earth. We were told that he wrote books of Proverbs in Ecclesiastes. And in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32-34, declares that Solomon spoke 3,000 Proverbs. Man, 3,000 Proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,000. He's in the top 10. Whatever you call that when you have released your song. Men of all nations came to listen to Solomon's wisdom. So the question naturally comes to our mind. How could anyone who was so smart, genius, but so dumb? How could a man who was so blessed by God end up turning his back on his God? Why would this man who had enjoyed such a close relationship with God, end up following Ashtoreth, you know, this god of the goddess of other nation, the Sidonites, the Molech, the Ammonites, the Termites, no, the Ammonites, and all of those gods of other nations? Why would Solomon do something so foolish? Well, look at 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 9. Do we have that error? 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 9. It says, "The Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice." So, what caused Solomon's heart turn away from God? First, he had developed a kind of arrogance. You know, when you can do everything, when you have everything in this world that could give, you know, you become arrogant. You become prideful. And you think that nobody can tell you that you're wrong. And that's what happened to Solomon here. In first, he has developed a kind of arrogance in verse 1 and 2 of our verse, chapter 11. It says, "King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter. Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Sidonians, and Hittites, they were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, 'You must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods.' Nevertheless," but, you know that word, but? That put us in trouble. "Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love." Nevertheless, but Solomon loved them. If God had commanded his people not to marry women of this nation, why on earth would Solomon marry them? God warned his people that if they married these women, their foreign wives would turn their heart to worship their God. So why would Solomon will marry them? Do you ever ask ourselves, why did Solomon do that? Because he could do. He was a king. Who he was going to stop him? Nobody could stop him. He has powerful. And when every other nations around you come and come to you and ask for wisdom, man, you got everything. to that arrogance. They believe that God's rules only apply to someone else. So this leads us to the second reason Solomon's heart was turned from God. First of all, the reason why Solomon turned his back from God because of his arrogance. Because everything that he has, everything that a person could own, he has it at his own disposal. Number two is that Solomon spent his time with the wrong people. God said, don't hang out with these people. They'll ruin your faith. They'll undermine your love for God. They'll make you doubt God's faithfulness. Now David, Solomon's father, has written this in Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 and 3. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinners, or sits in the seats of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on this law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruits in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prosper. So that means he doesn't around with people that has a negative attitude in life. Because there are certain people that you don't want to hang out with. Right? There are certain people. If you have to have a full blessings of God in your life, you don't want to walk around with people around with wicked people. You don't want to stand around with people who enjoy and rejoice in sinning. You don't want to sit down with people who would mock and your God and your faith. You want to hang out with the wrong people, you begin to pick up their bad habits. You begin to use their terminology. You begin to look at your family and job the same way they do. And most important, you begin to view God like they do. Right? You see, if you hang around with the wrong people long enough, you begin to think they really know what they are talking about. And that's not just true to people like in your work site. You don't have to be in your work site to get a bad advice. You don't get down to the factory or office to get into the next door. You don't have to get into your next door neighbor. You can get it from everybody. So you have to be careful of the people that you hang around with. Because if they have a negative thinking, chances are you're going to be influenced by negative thinking. Amen? Amen. So the first one that Solomon turned his back from God because of his arrogance. Number two, because he hung out with bad people. Amen? And so God told Solomon, because you have turned your back on me, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates. We can find that in 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 11. So the Lord said to Solomon, since this is your attitude and you have not kept my covenant and decrees which I commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one subordinate. Nevertheless, God says, for the sake of David your father, I will not do it during your lifetime. I will tear it out of the hand of your son. Yet I will not tear the whole kingdom from him, but will give him one tribe for the sake of David, my servant, and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. So Solomon has deliberately disobeyed God. Solomon had turned his back from God, And yet God withheld his hand of punishment during Solomon. And even Solomon's son, Rehoboam, who would lose over half of the kingdom because of Solomon's sin, would not lose everything. So we can see the mercy of God. That even though Solomon sinned against God, and even though God says, you know what, I'm going to tear down that kingdom from you. But he will not tear it down at the period where Solomon is the king. See, one of the most overlooked blessing in the scripture is the blessing of the umbrella effect of faith. See, in Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, let's look up that one, Herb. It says, the Ten Commandments says, you shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, I'm a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the father to the third generation of those who hate me. Verse 6, but showing love to 1,000 generations to those who love me and keep my commandments. So most of us, we zeroed on in the course about the children for the sin of the father, punishing the children for the sin of the father to the third generation of those who hate me. But then in verse 6, look at that. Verse 6, it says, showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. See, even though God punished the children for the sin of the father, but yet he said, you know what? If you return back to me, when you love me, and keep my commandments, that blessing exists. Amen? See, the desire to show love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. People just focus on that curse. But people, the second commandment, but showing the love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. See? The blessing of God for those who love him is still there. See, the default is that when you turn your back, and then when you hate me, when you turn your back, you see that there is that the kingdom will be taken out from you. But then if you love God and obey his commandments, the default is there that still the blessing is there. Amen. In Psalms 103, David said that from the everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. See that? Psalms 103. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children and their children's children, and with those who keep his commandment and remember to obey his precept. See, in other words, when we fear God, when we keep his commandment, when we obey his precepts, we create an umbrella of protection over our children that will bless them until the day they die. Amen? That's the God that we serve. That even though there is people that will turn their back, God says, you know what? To those who loves me, the blessing still exists. See, we create an umbrella of protection over our children that will bless them until the day they die, when we obey the Lord. Amen? When we obey his precepts, when we keep his commandments. David had a personal relationship with God. He loved God. He feared God and built his life around God. That's why the Bible says that David is a man after God's own heart. Amen. Now, had David ever stumbled in his faith? Yeah. Had David ever sinned? Yes, he did. He committed adultery, but unlike Solomon, David repented and changed his life. But Solomon did. He even wrote Psalms 51 to publicly repent. In Psalms 51, verse 1, it says, do we have that one there? Psalms 51, verse 1, it says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgression, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore to me, O God, and renew my salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners will turn back to you. That's the cry of David. So, as far as David was concerned, there was no other relationship as critical as his relationship with God. And once he realized he has jeopardized that relationship, he struggled to put God back in his life. But he did. By contrast, scripture tells us that Solomon's heart was not fully devoted to the Lord, his God, as the heart of David, his father, had been. So he's half. Remember the story that we have that when Solomon, when Saul went out and was commanded to kill everybody, and then he came back with the goods, with a good part of the sheep that are healthy. That means it's half obedience is not obedience at all. So David's relationship with God protected his son and his grandson, even when Solomon made a terrible and disastrous decision. So my brothers and sisters, as we close this sermon, I just want to encourage you to those who take their relationship with God seriously. When you focus your life in God, you have created an inheritance of protection for your children and even your grandchildren. I'm just encouraging you this morning. We might see that the generation that we are facing right now is, you know, it's hard to reach. But you know what? You, as the father and the mother of this generation, you have to obey God and fear God and keep His commandments. Because there is a default, there is an umbrella of protection, of blessing, when the parents obeying and keeping the commandments of God. You have placed an umbrella of your faith as a protection over their lives. And our children's children need you and me. Because that's where they have their protection, is from you and me. Amen. That's one thing that I want to emphasize in our message this morning. One simple rule for protecting our family is that you and me, parents, mother, and father, has to keep the commandments of the Lord. Amen. And there's a challenge to have and realize the importance of your relationship with God. You can give no greater inheritance to your offspring than the inheritance of a godly father or mother. Amen. Shall we all stand? Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to seal those words, Lord. Words that are coming from you, Father God. But if there's none, Lord, it's coming from my own human intellect, Lord. Father, we pray that you take it out, Lord. Just keep the one that's yours, Lord God. And Father, we thank you, God. Thank you for your word this morning. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Hallelujah.
Let's proceed to our offering. Let's sing, give.